Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome in, everybody. Another edition. College Football Betting. I'm your host, Aaron Torres. Hope everybody is doing well. By the way, hope the sound quality is better. If you listen to both the Aaron Torres podcast and this show, you know, we've struggled to find the right mic. I think we officially have it here for College Football Betting and the Aaron Torres pod. So thank you for your patience. And let's get ready for a really interesting week 8 in college football. Now, week 8 is a little bit different. A lot of really good teams on byes this week. Michigan is off. USC is off. Georgia is off. Florida is off. Utah, Auburn. Auburn's not very good, but you get the point. Kentucky, Arkansas, on and on. So a lot of teams not playing this week, but the show will go on. And I do think it'll be fun because we get to kind of hit on some teams that we don't normally get to hit on. We'll talk Syracuse, Clemson. We'll talk Oregon, UCLA. Oregon, a team we really haven't talked about since that Georgia game. Obviously, Kansas State, TCU, Texas, Oklahoma State, on and on and on. LSU, Ole Miss. Fun weekend ahead in college football. Before we get started, I want to remind you today's show is brought to you by the Betfred Sportsbook. I have been working with them all year long, and I have loved working with Betfred. What I love about Betfred, first of all, great backstory. Started in 1967 in the UK, the top shop, maybe in all of Europe. They have come to the United States, and they have made a major splash here stateside. They are the presenting sponsor, gambling sponsor of the Denver Broncos, of the Cincinnati Bengals, of the Colorado Rockies. And what I love about Betfred is they do more for their customers than any other sports book going. If you listen to this show, you know, 2 weeks ago, we sent listeners of this show and the Aaron Torres podcast to a VIP tailgate at the Denver Broncos game on that Thursday night against the Colts. There are bar crawls in Arizona. There is a Betfred suite at Cincinnati Bengals games, which we will have more information on. It is a great company to work for. I love working with them. And two quick reminders, okay? One, first of all, you want to bet on any game. You don't have to bet on one that I like, that I don't like. Bet on any game. First-time users, bet 50, get 250 in free bets, courtesy of the Betfred Sportsbook. That is any NFL game, any college game, Ole Miss, LSU, Oklahoma State, Texas, TCU, Kansas State, whatever you want to bet on, you can. The other thing, we will have our Betfred Boost plus 110 odds. Hate to brag, but if you took it last week, we had Tennessee plus the points. Forget winning outright. We had Tennessee plus the points. You could have got it at plus 110 odds. I will tell you what the Betfred boost is later, but I just want to thank Betfred again for being our presenting sponsor. With that said, let's get to the week 8 slate. And as I said, a little bit different this week. No Georgia, no Michigan, no USC, no Utah, no Auburn, no Kentucky, no Arkansas. Probably a few other teams I'm forgetting too, but that's okay. Because you know what happens? Now we get to talk about some teams that we have not had much of a chance to talk about. Certainly not as much as we have in the past. And I want to start in a place that I very rarely start on this show, and that's the Pac-12. How about them UCLA Bruins against the Oregon Ducks, a top 10 matchup on paper? I think this is, at worst, two of the 15 best teams in college football. These are two really good teams. I think they might be the two best teams in the Pac-12. Now, we'll see in the coming weeks if USC makes a real push, if Utah can somehow bounce back. I think these might be the two best teams in the league. And let's break it down. Let's get into it. The spread. UCLA is a 6-point underdog on the road. Obviously, Oregon, a 6-point favorite. Also, the over-under 69.5, a huge over-under. But when we start talking about these teams, I think you'll understand why. Let's start with Oregon, because I do think we've talked about UCLA a little bit on this show, especially about 2-3 weeks ago when they played Utah. So let's start with Oregon. And I think the last time we all saw Oregon, they were just getting destroyed by Georgia. And I think they kind of fell off our radar and we stopped paying attention. Here's the crazy part. They have been really, really, really good since then. Now, they haven't played the best competition. Some of their toughest games are remaining on the schedule. And part of it is probably that Georgia is really, really, really good in their own right. But I do think it's worth giving credit to Oregon. They got up off the mat, and here is what they have done since they played Georgia. Beat Eastern Washington, FCS team, 70-14. Beat BYU, 41-20. Beat Washington State, 44-41. Beat Stanford, 45-27. Beat Arizona, 49-22. They had a bye last week, like UCLA. They were off. And so they're coming into this game refreshed, recharged, and let's give them credit. Like I said, off the mat, they have averaged close to 50 points per game since that Georgia game. And what I would say about Oregon, if you haven't had a chance to watch Pac-12 After Dark, you just haven't been able to watch them. What stands out to me, I think they're a really, really, really balanced football team. On offense, they are actually quietly one of the best. They're very balanced, but they have the best rushing attack in all of the Pac-12. They are a team that averages close to 250 yards per game on the ground. And keep in mind, that is with a game against Georgia. So it shows you how effective they've been against literally everybody other than Georgia. But I also think it's worth noting, and a man who has been plenty criticized by me and many others, Bo Nix has actually been pretty good as the Oregon quarterback. 70% completion percentage, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's also got 330 yards rushing on the ground, 8 rushing touchdowns. And so we've been waiting for 4 years for this guy to play under control, for this guy to find the right coach and the right system and really kind of tap into all his potential, also limit his mistakes. And so far, to his credit, he's doing it. I think what's also important to note on Oregon, again, I understand that they gave up a lot of points to Georgia. Georgia had 9 months to prepare for him, so maybe it's just a Georgia thing. But since then, the defense has been really good too. And it reminds me of something we talked about in the preseason with Georgia or with Oregon. And I know we talked about it in week 1 in the lead up to this game. If you remember back in the preseason when we did the Pac-12 preview, when we talked Oregon, Georgia in week 1, one thing that stood out to me at that time was something Mario Cristobal said when he left Oregon. He said, guys, I don't want all you guys rushing to the transfer portal. He said, we have a national championship caliber team in this locker room. Go out and reach your potential as a group. And I think that's important because I remember talking about it before the Georgia game. I said, you know, this is probably going to be the most talented defense that Georgia faces all season long. They do not play Alabama. They do not play Texas A&M. They do not play some of the other teams in the SEC West. Florida's a little bit down. We know about the Tennessee defense. I said, Oregon might be the best defense that Georgia plays all year. Now, Georgia ran all over them. But since that game, Oregon has been really good, specifically against the run. They have the top-ranked run defense in the Pac-12, allowing just 98 yards per game. And so I think that's especially interesting because as we transition to UCLA, what does UCLA do really well? Oh, they run the football. And listen, we all saw the game a few weeks ago against Utah. This UCLA team, listen, I know there's this perception Pac-12 is soft, Southern California is soft, this or that. There is nothing soft about the way Chip Kelly and this team run the football. Finished that game against Utah with 203 yards rushing, 5.5 yards per carry. They are physical and mean up front. And I think, and by the way, I should mention, we all know, but Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I believe, should be in the Heisman Trophy conversation, DTR. But what I also want to always reemphasize against you with UCLA, why I like them against Utah, or to at least keep it close, why I like them to beat Washington, they are really good defensively as well, especially up front. Again, I think there's this perception. It's the Pac-12. It's LA. It's soft. You can go back to last year. Remember week 1 against LSU? They ran the ball right at LSU. They did it. They've been running the ball at everybody ever since. And I think it's important to, again, remember on defense, they are excellent as well in the trenches. This is a team. Oregon has the number 1 run defense in the Pac-12. You know who's number two? It's UCLA. You know who's actually giving up the fewest yards per carry in the Pac-12? It's UCLA. You know who's giving up a yard more per game than Oregon on the ground? It's UCLA. Now, they haven't played a team as good as Georgia did, as Oregon did in Georgia, but at the same time, they have played some good competition, specifically the last 2 weeks with Utah and Washington. In terms of kind of betting the game and talking about it, what I would say is a few things. I think one, that over-under of 69.5 is something you really got to look at in the Betfred Sportsbook. Because like I said, these are two really good run defenses. And I also tend to think that we get so excited about the offenses that we're sleeping on how good these defenses are. This is the best run defense that UCLA will have seen all year. Oregon, it is the best run defense they have seen since Georgia in week one. And there is one interesting note on Georgia, on Oregon. I don't know why I keep switching Oregon and Georgia in my head. Okay, I'm done talking Georgia. They're on a bye. We're not talking about them anymore on this show. Oregon. One interesting thing about them. So they did not run the ball well in week one against you-know-who, who we're not going to mention again. But they have been running the ball really well since. But I looked it up because I was curious. I said, are they that good or are the run defenses they faced that bad? Well, I hate to say it, but some of the defenses they faced are really bad. Okay, so I looked it up and Oregon has faced, here are the run defenses that they faced outside of that week one opponent. Week two, they play Eastern Washington. They have played six games. They have faced the 114th ranked rush defense in BYU, the 119th ranked rush defense in Stanford, and the 121st ranked rush defense in Arizona, meaning that in three of their six games, they have faced three of the bottom 20 run defenses in college football. This will be the best run defense that they face all year. And I'm telling you, I think the under is the way to go here in terms of who I think will actually win or lose. Listen, 2 weeks in a row, UCLA has been an underdog. 2 weeks in a row, they've won. Beat Washington at home, beat Utah at home. If I had to pick a winner, I think UCLA pulls the upset. But I'm telling you, I think the over-under is the way to go here. My official Betfred pick in the Betfred Sportsbook is the under of 69.5.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's keep it going. And, you know, a little bit of a quiet week in the SEC. Again, tends to happen, right? No Georgia, no Florida. A couple of these other teams, Kentucky, Arkansas, Auburn are all off. We do have a very intriguing one between Ole Miss and LSU. What's interesting about it is all of the money has come pouring in on LSU. Ole Miss opened as a 1.5-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook. It is now up to LSU minus 2.5 in the Betfred Sportsbook. The over-under in this one, very high of 68. And so the question becomes, what do bettors know about LSU that we don't know? Well, I don't think, to me, in my opinion, it's as much about LSU. I think it's actually about Ole Miss. And I think what we got to do, 30,000-foot view, let's think about Ole Miss. Really good team. Lane Kiffin's a good coach. I know we all had our jokes and our fun 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. This guy has evolved into a great college football head coach. I believe the stat is he's 18-3 in his last 21 games as Ole Miss head coach, which is inconceivable. But when you look at these two teams and where they have played so far this season and who they've played, it is worth noting a few things on Ole Miss. One, they've only played two road games all season long. One at Georgia Tech, one at Vanderbilt. We're not exactly talking about Knoxville, Tennessee for the Alabama game last week in terms of the road environments that Ole Miss has had to walk into. So they have played probably two of the easiest Power 5 road venues you could possibly play for. On top of that, it is also worth noting, if you want to argue they're the second best team in the SEC West, okay, I'm not going to fight you on that. But they have probably played the worst team in the SEC West, the worst team in the SEC East right now. I would argue probably the two worst teams in the SEC overall in Vandy and Auburn. They still have yet to play Alabama. And I know Alabama's flawed and there's problems in the program, but Alabama's still really good. They have still yet to play Mississippi State, obviously LSU, who they'll play this weekend, and Arkansas. And so you look at who Ole Miss has played. You look at where they've played them. Five of their seven games have been at home. You look at the fact that, let's remember, that Kentucky game, and I don't like to play the what if and coulda, shoulda, woulda. I think we all watched that game, and we all kind of know Kentucky was probably should have won that game. Ole Miss wins 22-19. Kentucky misses two extra points. They miss a field goal. Kentucky also fumbles on back-to-back drives. And I know one of the plays, there was a questionable, was it a helmet-to-helmet? Was it not? But in the end, Kentucky was on the goal line with a chance to win that game. Ole Miss survives. Credit to them for getting to 7-0 at this point. But when I look at this Ole Miss team, what I see is a team that has not gone on the road into a venue like they will see in at LSU this weekend. Now, it is worth noting one thing on Ole Miss. We talk about it a lot. They do one thing really, really, really well, and it's something we always try to emphasize on this show. I think most people, when they think Lane Kiffin, they think air it out, throw the ball 60 times a game, just having fun out there. No, that's actually the guy across the state, Mike Leach. Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, has an elite run offense this year, 271 yards per game. And what's especially interesting about that is that the only two teams ahead of them are Air Force and Army, which are two obvious triple option teams. So you're talking about two triple option teams that are ahead of them in rushing yardage. They are number three ahead of everybody else, ahead of Arkansas and UCLA and all these teams that run the ball really effectively. With LSU, you know, a couple things. One, first of all, I hate to brag. I did tell you last week LSU was going to go to the Swamp and win. And what stands out to me about LSU is a few things. One, they are much more battle-tested than this Ole Miss team, right? Keep in mind, they have already played Mississippi State at home, who I think is a legit top 25 team. We'll get to them later. They've also played Tennessee at home, which might be the best team in college football. They've already played at Auburn at night. They've already played at Florida at night. They've already played Florida State on a neutral field. And so you look at this team, one, they are much more battle-tested than Ole Miss. Two, I think they're starting to hit a stride with LSU. Listen, you can't judge LSU 2 weeks ago on what happened against Tennessee. As we found out, Tennessee's just a really good football team. Wow, Hendon Hooker threw for a lot of yards against LSU. Guess what? He's going to do it to everybody. He did it to Bama. He's going to do it to Georgia in a few weeks. He's going to do it to Kentucky. I saw that Kentucky is already open as a 14-point underdog against Tennessee. We'll save that conversation for next week. But I just bring it up because Hendon Hooker is going to do this against everybody, okay? So don't put aside the Tennessee game. And like I told you, they really kind of gifted Tennessee 10 points, the fumble of the punt, and of course, Brian Kelly's questionable play calling late in the first half, which led to a Tennessee field goal. So all of a sudden, I'm not saying that 30-17 feels better, but I think it does feel different. And then you got to look at what they did last week against Florida. They were the significantly better team against Florida. Remember, Florida was favored at home against LSU. LSU won by 10, and I don't think it was that close. LSU gave up one big play to Anthony Richardson. LSU, Jack Beck, again, another fumble recovered by the opposing team. That's basically 14 points that they just gave Florida in that game. You take out one big run. You take out one muff punt. All of a sudden, that is a 45-21 final score. And we're like, oh, LSU is way better than we think. That's also why I'm not as concerned about some other variables coming in. I think people would just look at the box score against when they played Florida last week and say, well, they gave up a lot of rushing yards. And that's very concerning because, you know, Ole Miss wants to run the ball really well. Well, they did give up a lot of rushing yards, but 109 were to Anthony Richardson of the 210 that they had all game long. 109 were by Anthony Richardson, and it is worth noting. And I know I say worth noting a lot, but I always worth noting. 81 of them came on one play. So you take out 81 yards from Anthony Richardson. All of a sudden, we're talking about a team that rushed for about 130 yards on 30 carries. So I'm just sitting here saying, I think LSU is the better team. And I also, well, I don't think they're, I think they were the better team in Florida. I don't think they're better than Ole Miss. But when you look at Ole Miss on the road, first real tough road environment, it's a 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern kick. It is the SEC game of the week. That fan base will be fired up. I'm telling you, LSU is a 2.5-point favorite. I think they are the right side here in the Betfred Sportsbook. Let's keep bouncing around and then we'll take a quick break. But how about this? We've hit the Pac-12 earlier. It's not often we also get to the ACC in segment one. But who had a top 15 matchup between Syracuse and Clemson this late in the season? I think it's safe to say probably in this century, I don't know about this century, but since Donovan McNabb left, this is probably the best Syracuse team this late in the season. And I think with Syracuse, a lot of you are probably sitting there saying, well, what do I need to know about Syracuse? I should mention, by the way, Clemson is the home team. They are a 13.5-point favorite, the over-under 49 in the Betfred Sportsbook. So I want to make sure I get that out there. But with that said, what do I need to know about Syracuse? A lot of you sitting there saying to yourself, what do I need to know about Syracuse? Torres, tell me everything I need to know. I've never watched Syracuse all year. Well, they're actually one of the most balanced teams in college football. They're a very interesting team. So their starting quarterback is a kid named Garrett Schrader. He was a guy who was recruited to Mississippi State to play for Joe Moorhead. Mike Leach comes in. He's more of a dual threat guy, and he decides to leave. And by the way, credit to him, because I believe that this is a guy that I believe when you look at Garrett Schrader, you talk about some of these transfer kids, right? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they pick the wrong spot. He found a perfect spot for his exact skill set. And Garrett Schrader has been absolutely awesome as the quarterback at Syracuse. He is a guy that this season is completing close to 70% of his passes. He is a guy that has thrown for 12 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He's also rushing 300 yards rushing on the season as well. As importantly, with Syracuse, they run the ball really well. Sean Tucker, probably the best running back you don't know. 5 yards per carry, over 100 carries this year, almost 700 yards rushing. He has been phenomenal. And I think the other thing that stands out about Syracuse, anyone have any idea how good this defense is? This defense is incredible, okay? This defense is phenomenal. If I told you Syracuse is ranked in the top 15 in rush offense, rush defense, pass defense, would you believe your boy Torres? Only it's the truth. So credit to Syracuse, credit to them for really elevating their program. Love the quarterback, love the defense. And I know if you look at their schedule, they've had a lot of breaks along the way. They've played 6 games so far. Their only road games were at UConn. Listen, you don't just walk in and wrench the field, but their only road game was at UConn. They did get NC State when Devin Leary got hurt. So the schedule is going to get tougher. They still have Notre Dame in a few weeks. They still have Florida State at Wake Forest to second to last week of the season. But let's give Syracuse credit. I think they're a little bit better than we thought. Also, this is a very interesting matchup because you're facing a Clemson team, which is really good, which I've talked about a lot. But I do wonder, are we overvaluing Clemson a little bit based on their schedule? Now, I don't want to discredit Clemson. I think it's important to note with Clemson, 3 of their last 4 wins are true road wins. I don't care who you're playing, what conference you're in, that's impressive. Took care of Florida State last week. Took care of Boston College. That run defense was really good against Wake, really good against Boston College and NC State. It wasn't very good last week against Florida State, and that's where it gets a little bit interesting to me. I look at this game, and I say, you go back to last week with Clemson. They were actually outgained by Florida State and were able to win. Now, DJ's good, 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but they're not lighting the world on fire offensively. And they are playing the best defense that they have faced so far. And I do sit there and wonder, is this a game where Clemson potentially, it's at least interesting, right? And again, I'm not saying Clemson's bad. I do think the stats are a little bit misleading with them because they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points to Wake Forest, but they're probably better defensively than they've shown. But again, you go back to last week, Florida State, 206 yards on the ground. 2 weeks after, you know, what was the stat? I think it was NC State and Boston College combined for like 80 yards rushing. Florida State had 206 yards on the ground, 6 yards per carry. I look at this game. I think Syracuse on the road is probably the right side. A couple other things to note, and I think these are important when we talk about betting. It's a noon Eastern kickoff for Clemson. Just feels different, right? You've played a couple big night games at Florida State. You played at NC State at home a few weeks ago. Now you got to play in a noon kickoff, and Clemson has its bye next week. And I always like to look at who's coming off a bye, who's already had their bye, who hasn't. You wonder, is Clemson going to be fully focused? Are they going to be trying to survive and get to that bye? So what I want to do, take a quick break, come back. And when we come back, we are going to discuss the rest of the slate. Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi State, Kansas State, TCU. Take a quick break. Be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, everybody. I am back. Let's get to the rest of the week 8 slate in college football. Let's head over to the Big 12. Two really interesting games featuring 4 ranked teams. So how about the Big 12? We find out this week that Texas and Oklahoma are staying till 2025. So I'm not great at math, but that's what, 3 more seasons, 2 more seasons of Texas and Oklahoma. But we have some really good teams outside of Texas and Oklahoma emerging in this league. We'll talk about Kansas State, TCU in a minute. But how about Texas and Oklahoma State? Texas opened as a 3-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook on Sunday. It is up to 6.5. The over-under has actually dropped to 62. And when I think about this game, a few things. One, I look at it from the fans' perspective, from your perspective, and I think I looked at it the same way early in the week. Aaron, you're probably thinking to yourself, Torres, this is Texas. This is what is going to happen. They destroy Oklahoma last week. They look, or 2 weeks ago, they look great. Now they got to go on the road. They're a big road favorite, and I'm just supposed to believe that Texas is going to take care of business. And if that's how you feel, I do understand, but let me make the counterargument. One, I think the Iowa State game was a tough spot last week, okay? Keep in mind who Texas is, who they were, where they were playing, all that good stuff. So you are playing off of a major win against your biggest rival, the first like real and big win over your rival in forever. I know Texas has beaten Oklahoma a few times in the past decade, but that one felt different. 49-0 in the Cotton Bowl. Oklahoma fans are leaving in the middle of the third quarter. Texas fans are soaking in every ounce of that game. Now you go back home, early kick. You're playing a 3-3 team that is 0-3 in Big 12 play. I'm not excusing Texas's performance. I do kind of understand why it was the way that it was. And on top of that, there's a couple other factors you have to consider as well. One, I don't think it's just the players who were kind of, you know, whatever. If you're Steve Sarkisian, one, how much of the playbook do you want to give up against Iowa State? But two, you got to protect your players. Quinn Ewers just had surgery a month ago. You can't just have him out there throwing the ball 60 times and trying to put up 70 points on Iowa State. On top of that, here's the other thing. Iowa State is actually the best pass defense in the Big 12. And so you look at all the variables off the Oklahoma win, playing at Oklahoma State the next week, playing the worst team, at least record-wise, in the Big 12 at home, 11 a.m. kickoff after beating Oklahoma against the best pass defense in the Big 12. You can forgive Steve Sarkisian. You can forgive Texas, and they still won the game, and that's all that matters. So that's part of it. The other part as to why I think the money is starting to come in on Texas, besides the Texas element, there's the Oklahoma State element as well. And I think a lot of people would sit there and look at Oklahoma State. Oh, Oklahoma State's 5-1. They're going to roll. This is what they do. Everybody doubts them. Everybody doesn't realize how good they are. They're always underrated, and they're just going to take care of business against Texas. And if that happened, it wouldn't surprise me. The same time, though, we have to look at this Oklahoma State team, and we have to separate them from other Oklahoma State teams, because while they have been at many points one of the more underrated programs and underrated teams in any given year in college football, I'm not quite sure that they are that this year. As a matter of fact, I'll take it a step further. They might actually be a little bit overrated at 5-1 overall. And you look at some of these games, they easily probably shouldn't be 5-1 if you really look at it. First off, the early part of the schedule, easy schedule, beat Central Michigan, beat Arizona State, beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. Okay. Then you get a bye. Then you play at Baylor. You beat Baylor by 11. That looks great on paper. Did you know that Baylor outgained Oklahoma State by over 100 yards? Following week, beat Texas Tech by 10. Did you know that Texas Tech outgained Oklahoma State by a significant margin? And on top of that, put up over 500 yards of total offense in that game. And then last week, the same with TCU. You're up early. You end up losing the game. You sit there and say, oh, they easily could have won that game. And they could have. But it's also worth noting, you give up 43 points to a really good defense or a really good offense, and they got 500-plus yards of total offense. So back-to-back weeks when they've given up 500-plus yards of offense, three straight weeks in three straight Big 12 games that you've been outgained, now you have this explosive Texas offense coming to town. I get why the money is coming in on Texas. Also, Spencer Sanders, he's been a little bit banged up, but the reality is he has not been very good the last few weeks, okay? This was a guy that started out the year red hot. He has not been that of late. Last 2 weeks, 22 of 45 passing. That's a 49% completion percentage, one touchdown, no interceptions against Texas Tech. Last week, 16 of 36 passing, 44% completion percentage, one touchdown, one interception. I'm not telling you how to bet. I don't tell you how to bet on this show. I sometimes share the bets that I like, but I understand. It's Oklahoma State. This is what they do. They're at home. But every little trend, Texas, the way they're playing, the fact that Oklahoma State, I don't even think I mentioned, has the worst pass defense in the Big 12. So you go from the best pass defense in the Big 12, Iowa State, to the worst pass defense in the Big 12, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's been outgained three straight games and went 2-1 straight up. I'm just telling you, I like Texas. I really do. Let's keep it going. The other big game. You know, I talked about Syracuse Clemson. Who saw that as a top 25 match or top 15 matchup coming into the weekend? Who saw Kansas State TCU as a top 20 matchup coming into this weekend? TCU, a 3.5-point favorite in the Betfred Sportsbook as I record here. Over under set at 54 in this game. It will be an 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. kickoff in Fort Worth. What is it? Amon Carter Stadium. How about them Horned Frogs, baby? In terms of the game itself, I think, listen, what we know about these teams. Two really good offenses. I think two teams that are, I would say, surprising. I remember going through the Big 12 in the preseason and saying, I like TCU's personnel, but they got a first-year head coach. Don't know if I can trust them. I like Kansas State's personnel, but I don't know if I trust Adrian Martinez. Well, here we are. TCU's first-year head coach has been awesome. Adrian Martinez is going strong while Scott Frost is collecting buyout checks on a beach somewhere. And so when you look at this game, just two very interesting teams that are, I think, very much ahead of where I thought they'd be, and they're the only two teams that are undefeated in Big 12 play right now. In specific, in terms of the game itself, a couple things stand out. Both teams want to run the ball and are very effective running the ball. I think, again, Sonny Dykes, another guy like Lane Kiffin, that we think of as a guy that wants to throw the ball 40 times per game down the field. That's not really who these teams are. Kansas State, number one in the league in rushing offense per game. TCU, how about this? Second, and they're averaging like 6.5 yards per carry. Now, part of it was because they played Oklahoma and they ran for about 4,000 yards against Oklahoma in that game. But these are two explosive offenses, two explosive run offenses. And what will be interesting is, who can slow down the run the best? Neither is great. Kansas State, 5th in the Big 12 in rush defense. TCU, 6th in the Big 12 in rush defense. So those are the variables. I think those are the variables. Who can stop the run? And if that happens, which quarterback makes more plays? We know about Max Duggan. I'll tell you, I just mentioned Adrian Martinez. Kansas State has been at its best when they have taken the ball out of Adrian Martinez's hands and have not asked him to make pass plays. This is a guy that's completing 62% of passes on the season. 2 games ago against Texas Tech, they did win. He only attempted 19 passes. Iowa State the week after that only attempted 19 passes. So you have a situation where you have quarterbacks that throw the ball 40 times all the time in college football. Adrian Martinez has attempted 38 passes total in the last 2 games. I do wonder, can TCU make him make plays with his arm? On the flip side, Kansas State is coming off a bye. I probably lean Kansas State, but this is one I have no great feel for. A couple other games. Let's wrap in the SEC. So we have obviously a very intriguing one. Alabama's final game before their bye. And boy, you talk about a team that needs a bye. Alabama, and we talked about this on the Aaron Torres pod on Thursday. Alabama, what a weird week. The fans are blaming the refs. The Jermaine Burton thing. I don't think Nick Saban is getting enough criticism for how he's handled Jermaine Burton, but they come into a Mississippi State game as a 21-point favorite, and then Mississippi State, what an egg they laid against Kentucky last week. Again, I talked about it on the Aaron Torres pod. Credit to Will Levis. Credit to Kentucky. I've been critical of Will Levis. I thought he was awesome and really just showed leadership playing in a must-win game for Kentucky at well less than 100%. And then he was asked about it after the game and said, listen, this is the SEC. All 85 guys in the locker room are banged up right now. Don't treat me different because I'm the quarterback. Regardless, Mississippi State at Alabama, top 25 matchup. Bama's a 21-point favorite, the over-under 60.5. And this is one I'll just be blunt. I can't give you sound, I'm going to go this one way for a few reasons. One, I think there's something wrong with Bama. Not saying the players are bad people, bad kids, bad whatever. But there's just a weird vibe around this team right now. If you saw the press conference, Will Anderson talked about anxiety in that locker room before the Tennessee game. That doesn't sound like the Bama I know. But what I also know is last year, coming off of a loss to Texas A&M, Bama went to Mississippi State and won 49-9. And that was maybe their best performance of the year. And it was certainly their best road performance in 2 years since 2020. That's also why I don't feel like I have a strong opinion about this game, is because you look at the scores of this series. They've been very one-sided, especially since Dan Mullen left. The 4 years since Dan Mullen left, 49-9 last year, 41-0 in Mike Leach's first year, 38-7 in Joe Moorhead's last year, 24-0 in 2018. Total stay away to me. I would lean Mississippi State being able to keep it close, but again, this is a rivalry, not a rivalry, but a series that's been dominated by Alabama. I do like Alabama. Let's keep it going in the SEC. Texas A&M at South Carolina. Another intriguing one. This is actually, I think a lot of people probably don't know this. It's actually a cross-divisional game. And this is who these two teams play every single year. Texas A&M comes in as a 3-point road favorite in this game. The over-under in this one for the Texas A&M South Carolina game is 44.5. In terms of the game itself, a couple things stand out. One, it's important to note, A&M has played South Carolina annually every year since 2014. They have never lost to South Carolina. I think that is important. Last year, 44-14 win in College Station. Year before, 48-3 win in Columbia, South Carolina. Year before that, 30-6 win. So a series that they've dominated. And the thing that stands out with Texas A&M, this is a team that over the last year or so has tended to play up and down to competition, obviously lose to App State, then follow it up by beating Miami, beating Arkansas. Lose to Mississippi State, get destroyed, then nearly beat Alabama. I think you can look at that one of two ways, though. On the one hand, you could sit there and say, well, this is a team that they're playing South Carolina. Is that a big game? But on the flip side, remember, they're coming off of a bye. So you would hope if there's ever a time that Texas A&M comes out focused and ready to play that this is the week. We still don't know who Texas A&M's starter is going to be at quarterback. I still think it's going to be Haynes King, but there's whispers it could be Connor Wegman. These are all factors to consider. One factor I think is going underreported, though, I just don't think South Carolina is that good. 4-2 overall, but their wins are against a beat-up Kentucky without Will Levis, against South Carolina State, against Georgia State and Charlotte. Not exactly a murderer's row, and they got destroyed by Arkansas. They got destroyed by Georgia. Also, Spencer Rattler. I found this stat very interesting. I think we just kind of think Spencer Rattler is in the SEC now. He's doing fine, whatever. You know what his touchdown to interception ratio is right now? 5-8. 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions for Spencer Rattler. And we can criticize A&M for a lot, and we have. Everybody has. They actually have the number 2 pass defense in the SEC behind only Georgia, doing a good job of limiting other teams' passing attacks, giving up 175 yards per game. I do lean Texas A&M. I know we're critical, whatever, but off of a bye, I think this is the right spot. Couple Big Ten games, just very quickly. Ohio State, big noon kickoff on Fox, hosting Iowa in this game. Ohio State now up to a 30-point favorite. The over-under set at 49, which basically means that Ohio State's going to win a lot to a little and a little for Iowa. Listen, this is one I can't sit here and pretend as though I have a super strong opinion on. Ohio State's going to win. It's just a matter. Is it 29-0? Is it 34-7? Is it, 34-3 late and Ohio State, Iowa has a pick six against Ohio State's backup quarterback on the last drive? This is just one I don't feel strongly enough to really give a strong opinion on. And it is worth noting, like, Iowa, we can criticize them. They play real defense. They're a pretty good defensive team. They're a team that is in the top 25 nationally in total defense. They're giving up 264 yards per game. They play slow, which is a factor in why they don't give up very many yards. And so you're just going to potentially keep Ohio State off the field with that offense. I would lean Iowa plus 30. I don't love it. More of a stay away to me. You do what you want. Also a stay away, the whiteout game in Happy Valley. Penn State is hosting Minnesota. Penn State down to a 4-point favorite. Listen, we don't know who's going to play quarterback for Minnesota. If Tanner Morgan's not playing, I want to give you good information. I can't tell you which side to take if you like this game or if you don't like Penn State. I would lean Minnesota if Tanner Morgan plays. I just don't know if he's playing. So I think I'm going to stay away from this one. And I think that's it for this episode of College Football Betting with Aaron Torres. First of all, thank you guys and girls for the support. We are later in the season now. The show is still picking up steam, though. If you're not subscribed, please make sure to do so. Also, I should mention, and I said it before, thank you for your patience in getting us through those first couple weeks with the microphone situation. It wasn't great, but you guys were patient with me, and so I appreciate that. I appreciate your support. If you're not subscribed, please make sure to do so. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe. Also, make sure to rate and review the show. Go ahead and give us a quick 5 stars. If you could do that, that would be huge. We have a lot of ratings on the Aaron Torres pod page. We do not have very many on the college football betting page. And so if you could go there, just give me a quick 5 stars. It really would go a long way. We have a couple from last year. Be very helpful. Also, make sure to find us on YouTube, College Football Betting with Aaron Torres, full episodes there as well as clips. Share with friends, tell your friends, do all that good stuff. With that said, I do think it is time for me to get out of here. It is time for me to go enjoy a fun weekend of college football. If you're not subscribed, make sure to do so. Also, tell a friend, subscribe on YouTube. Enjoy the games this weekend. Betfred Sportsbook, bet 50, get 250 on any game. That is all for today's show. I will be back week 9 next week. Cannot believe we are here. College football.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.